12:05, your time check is brought to you by Clarkson Jewelers, an officially licensed Rolex jeweler. With Chris Duncan, I'm Anthony Stalter. It's the Turn on 101 ESPN, and we've got Coach Rick Venturi on the line. Coach, we'll start here. We'll get into the football, but how cool was it to watch Adam Wainwright last night?
Oh, man, it was so cool. I told those guys yesterday, my 90-year-old mother, Norma, you know, who's lived in Central Illinois her whole life, and absolutely Cardinal fanatic, was with us. I thought she was going to have a nervous breakdown. I thought I was going to lose her. She leans on every pitch, Dunk, but it was great. I'm wearing my Sunday Cardinal hat with the bird on the front today, the twin bill. So, I'm strutting today in Indianapolis.
Good man. Let's talk a little bit about this matchup here with the Houston Texans for the Rams. As a defensive guy, what makes J.J. Watt so special?
Well, I think he's the best defensive player in the National Football League today. He is the most disruptive player. Now, remember, J.J. does most of his damage, even though he's listed as a defensive end, and he'll play out there on the edge some. Where he's most damaging is when he either slants inside or when they get in passing downs and they kick him down on the guard. And he'll line up anywhere in that line of scrimmage. 20.5 sacks, ton of tackles for losses, ton of knockdowns, plays with a great motor. You have to plan this guy, run or pass. If you think you can treat him like another guy, then you're headed for suicide.
Coach, what do you think about the running game? It seemed like a lot of people were excited about Zach Stacy against the Jaguars. Do you think they can do the same thing with the running game against Houston?
Well, that's the $64,000 question, Duncan. Really, they've got Houston. They've got Houston, Carolina, and Seattle coming up. All three teams that have a really, really good front seven. Even though Carolina's record isn't there, there's three real good front sevens. What they did a week ago. And you know, you always got to be happy with a win, but you've got to context it. You know, they got 143 yards rushing, you know, which was way up for them. I mean, it was like a new world. But remember, Jacksonville had been giving up 165 and 5.2. What Fisher did, and I commend him for it, he basically turned back the clock. He said, you know, the hell with all these high draft picks and free agents. If we're not playing, we're going to go back and put Kendrick in the game. You know, we're going to put Harkey in the game. We're going to line up and bang away, let the offensive line do some doubling, you know, get some leads, some searches, some whams, you know, let Sam run out of bootleg, keep him clean. But it was a completely drastic shift in the running game. I think the fact, and I like what Stacy did, and I think Stacy and Richardson are both legitimate NFL running backs, not great running backs, but legitimate. But it was a completely different look. Now, whether you can do that against better defenses and end up sitting Austin and Cook on the bench, that remains to be seen.
Coach Venturi joins us in the Turn right now on 101 ESPN. And, Coach, the Rams are going to face this zone-blocking scheme that Gary Kubiak loves to run. How do you combat it if you're the Rams' front?
Yeah, that's the number one question because I think – you know, we talk about getting turnovers for Schaub, but one thing you got to know, Anthony, is they're going to try to prevent Schaub from that. They're going to try to manage the game with him. They're going to put more emphasis on that running game, and they are the purest zone running team in football. They really are the very purest running game. What they do is they like to what I call soften, stretch, and stab you. In other words, they like to start the ball off to their right. They like to stretch it. They start it wide. They if the line plays soft and flattens with them, and then they like to, put that foot in the ground and cut it back over that weak side, cut the backside, which would be Brockers, which would be Quinn, and one of those backside linebackers. To me, when you play this team, you have to be proactive. If you sit and try to read, they'll cut you all day long because they're unique. I like two things against them, what we call a double sink defense, where you cover the nose and you cover the two guards, or I like A-gap blitzes where you're coming in there and you're taking it to them. I think you think about taking away the cutback first from them. You got me? Set the edge, yeah. Don't let them just run on the edge.
Right.
But they make their living on the backside. So a lot of pressure this week on Brockers, Quinn, and basically on Dunbar. And in Ogletree, because those guys are going to have to keep their feet on those cuts. They're going to have to attack the line of scrimmage, and they're going to have to make plays. No easy job. Very, very good running team.
Coach, how would you get Michael Brockers then up to speed? Is there anything else that he has to do differently throughout the course of the practice week to gear up to face that scheme?
You know, you actually, what you don't want to do is talk about it too much, because if you overcoach it and you start trying to read it and everything, I've had my worst experiences that way, because then the guys start worrying about the cut blocks, they start playing softer, you know, and all that stuff. Just tell him to attack, and if he's a good enough athlete, keep his feet, and then help him with schemes, help him with those A-gap blitzes. So when that guard goes to cut, all of a sudden there's that linebacker sitting right in his face. In other words, I think scheme as much as anything. It's going to be up to Walton to create a scheme to stop that thing, a much more aggressive scheme than they've been playing, and then it's going to be up to that backside to keep their feet.
Coach, how do you attack a vulnerable quarterback?
Well, I think the biggest thing, and that's the question, but I think you got to understand what they'll probably do with him. The way you attack him, Dunk, is you've got to stop that zone running game first. I keep going back to that because everything in the Houston offense pivots around that. If they're not running the ball well, then their play action goes south. And what they're going to try to do is play action with him, get him out on the boot, not run him on the edge, but get him out on the edge, move the pocket, try to get things over the top, you know, easily, easy throws, try to ease him into the game. But if you stop the running game, then he has to go the drop back pass. And if that's where he's struggling, that's where he's hurrying up. I heard you talk about hitting. He's doing exactly what you talked about hitting. He's not processing. He's a 32-year-old guy that's capable of doing that and very smart, but he's hurrying everything right now because he's not playing with confidence and poise. That's why coverage variations get him. Again, if you get him in those long yardage situations, that's when they're at their weakest. And to be honest with you, their offensive line goes down a notch. Their offensive line is a tremendously good run-blocking line. The right side of it now with Jones at guard and with Newton can really be handled in terms of dropback. So biggest thing is make sure they don't keep you off balance. You stop them on first down. Take away that run, and they average out in a hurry.
Hey, Coach, I've heard you talk about it so much throughout the last 2 years here. I've talked about it as well with the Rams not being that aggressive with their secondary, specifically their splits lined up off the line of scrimmage. The last 2 weeks, though, it looks like the cornerbacks are getting closer to the line. Do you think that they're becoming a more aggressive defense in terms of scheming?
Yeah, I thought that Jeff had his handprint both on the offense and the defense. I saw dramatic changes in there. I saw an effort to get up and press, and I think Jenkins doing a good job. I think Johnson will do a good job. You know, they've got two good receivers. Andre, you know, is considered, you know, elite receiver, but honestly, when I watch him, I don't see quite the burst that I've seen. Big and physical. If you sit off him, he'll catch balls off day. Hopkins, not extremely fast, but I think you can press him. Now, what you got to do on both of those guys, both of those guys will go up and they'll catch anything. They'll compete high and wide for the ball. So when you're covering them, safeties, corners, you've got to compete at what I call the end of the play. You've got to play through the end of the play, because when they throw that ball up there, those two guys are going to go up and get it. But they are vulnerable to presses right now.
You know, ever since the beginning of the season, Coach, Anthony talked about the depth at safety. Did they have enough depth? Were they going to be okay in the secondary? Do you like what they have at safety right now, or do you think that could be a problem?
Well, I think it could be a problem. You know, I think the McDonald kid was not perfect, and, you know, he has some space limitations. But I thought he was playing pretty good, you know, and with teamed up with the right guy, you know, particularly McLeod at this point in time, I think you may not have had the experience that you had a year ago, but you had certainly as much talent. I think the issue has been more the soft corner play until recently. And then the other thing is just lack of movement up front. You got a good defensive line, but you're not bringing linebackers very much. There's very little pressure on early downs. You know, when you look at other teams in the league, there's so much more creativity than you're seeing from the Rams. Now, albeit you get behind and a lot of that stuff goes from the back, but, you know, this was a defense with high expectations. This was a defense that flirted with the top 10 last year, and I think they've got to get much more proactive both in the secondary and in the design in terms of pressures.
Hey, Coach, last thing for you. I watch, obviously, the Saints. Nobody does it better than Sean Payton in terms of creating mismatches for guys like Darren Sproles and even Jimmy Graham when he's double-covered. And even to a lesser extent, a guy like Bill Musgrave up in Minnesota, he did a nice job getting Percy Harvin open in space. How do the Rams do that? Brian Schottenheimer, how does he do that with Tavon Austin?
Well, first of all, he's got to get Tavon Austin in there with Givens on the first team when they're not in three wide receivers. You can't, number one, have Austin playing 25 plays a game, and you've got to be able to work him on deep parts of the field. Now, here's my thing against the Texans. Number one, you have got J.J. Watt. Let's go back to the first question. First of all, you've got to have check with me's on that run. You want to tighten your splits, and you want to be pushing that ball away from him and cut him off. You want to run more to Merciless and to Smith's side, okay? And that's going to entail some check with me's and some movement of the tight end. I think if you don't do that, you're silly. Now, on pass protection, you absolutely must turn the protection to Watt, whether he's on the left side or the right side. And if you have a helper, it's like chipping a great end, you have to chip him. If you don't, he's going to ruin your game. Now, the reason you can afford to keep people in is Wade doesn't play much double high. He's pretty much a quarters or single high coverage guy, so there's a tremendous amount of pressure on Jonathan Joseph and Kareem Jackson. So I think, to me, I'm going to run the ball to keep him off balance, but this week I'm going to work that outside quarter. I'm going to get Givens and Austin and see if I can win those one-on-ones outside there, Anthony.
Coach, as always, great information, great stuff. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.